Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Catholics are taught to prize holiness above all, but we're never quite told what holiness is. In my new book, Holy is His Name, I look to define the term in order to help us better understand how God transforms us through the sharing of His divine life. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Friday of the third week in Advent. Boy, don't you love Advent? I love this season. I love having the Advent wreath and try to have one in the home, light the candles every night, sing some Advent hymns, just really placing ourselves spiritually back with the people of Israel as they awaited the first coming of the Messiah, kind of spiritually reliving that with our spiritual ancestors, the people of Israel. And one of the ways that we go back and sit with our spiritual ancestors is by reading the prophet Isaiah, which we do so vigorously during the season of Advent. We're reading semi-continuously through Isaiah in our first reading. The Liturgy of the Hours is reading Isaiah during this season of the year as well. And John the Baptist, of course, who dominates the season of Advent, he was very much devoted to the prophet Isaiah and identifies himself with Isaiah 40, verse 3, for example. But John's preaching was really rooted in the prophecies of Isaiah. Now, the structure of Advent is that the first week we think about the second coming of Jesus. The second week of Advent, we think about the arrival of John the Baptist. The third week, we ponder the departure of John the Baptist, who, of course, is the forerunner of the Messiah. And then the fourth week of Advent, which we get a very full fourth week this year, a complete fourth week since Christmas falls on a Sunday. That fourth week, we ponder the events leading immediately up to the birth of our Lord. So we're looking at Isaiah 56 in today's first reading, and this is a powerful, powerful passage because it prophesies that in the future, essentially, there's going to be a new covenant, and in this covenant, foreigners and eunuchs will be able to do priestly service. Now, we have to contrast this. We know that under the Mosaic covenant, foreigners were excluded from the sacred spaces of the temple. They had to stay in the outer courts, and eunuchs likewise, or anybody else that had any physical mutilation or physical defect, was completely excluded from the temple courts, much less serving as a priest. Only the Levites could serve as clergy, and then only the descendants of Aaron as the priests, and then the high priests were limited to the descendants of Zadok. And so there was all these limitations on who could approach to the sacred places and who could offer sacrifice and minister before the Lord. But in this passage from Isaiah 56, the verses that talk about eunuchs have been cut out of our first reading, leaving only the verses that speak of foreigners, but both eunuchs and foreigners are discussed in this chapter. For example, about midway through our reading for today, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to Him, loving the name of the Lord, and becoming His servants, all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer. Now, this is all significant, brothers and sisters. It speaks of the foreigners ministering to the Lord. That is a priestly term. That's what the sons of Aaron did. They ministered before the Lord, becoming His servants. Servants of the Lord is a title of the priesthood. in the Old Testament. And then it describes the foreigners being joyful in my house of prayer, and they were excluded from God's house of prayer under the Old Covenant. And then it goes on to say, their burnt offerings and sacrifice will be acceptable on my altar. And under the Old Covenant, they could not approach the altar to offer offerings and sacrifices. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is that Isaiah is foreseeing a future in which foreigners and eunuchs will be able to serve as priests in God's temple. And that is precisely what is realized in our Catholic priesthood, where the vast majority of our priests are of course, not descended from the people of Israel, much less from the tribe of Levi, but our priests are Germans and Africans and English and Asians and people of all nationalities, men of all different nationalities who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus says in Matthew 19. So they are foreigners and they are eunuchs and they are serving us, we who are God's temple, every one of us living stones, every one of us a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and amongst us serve these foreigners and these eunuchs who are now priests ministering before the Lord, offering the sacrifice of the new covenant, which is the Eucharist. And so at every Mass, we see fulfilled this new covenant with a new priesthood. And you have to understand that since the Mosaic covenant barred foreigners and eunuchs from serving, much less as serving as priests, you must see that these prophecies of Isaiah implied that the Mosaic covenant was going to be set aside and we were going to receive a new covenant. So praise be to God, and that's what our psalm does. It praises the Lord. Oh God, let all the nations praise you, not just Israel, but all the nations that are gathered into the new temple, which is the church. And our gospel reading is John 5, 33 through 36. Jesus said to the Jews, you sent emissaries to John. Well, let me stop here. It should be, Jesus said to the Judeans. I know our Mass translation says Jews, but it doesn't quite get the sense of the original language here. Again, Jesus said to the Judeans, you sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept testimony from a human being, but I say this so that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. What a beautiful image, John, a burning and shining lamp. That's why we celebrate his feast day on June 25th, which is almost the longest day of the year, the day when the sun shines for the longest, you know, because John is this burning and shining lamp. But then Jesus also says something else about John, or I should say, John the Baptist says of himself, I must decrease and he must increase. And so John's feast day is basically the longest day of the year, but thereafter the sun, which represents John's shining light, gets smaller and smaller and smaller as we head towards Christmas. And that's an image of John decreasing and Christ increasing until we reach his birthday, our Lord's birthday, which is December 25th. So the natural cycles of the seasons have been pointing to the increase of the night, because the night is what will give birth to Christ symbolically in December 25th. And so we're approaching our Lord's birth. And we continue reading now, but I have testimony greater than John's, Jesus says, the works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And of course, the work that our Lord has just performed in John 5 is that earlier in the chapter, he healed the paralytic man who was lying on the side of the pools of Bethesda, who could never get in on time, and the Lord just healed him by a word. And so without having to go into the water, he was healed. And then Jesus commissions him later to go and sin no more. that nothing worse may befall him, so that we see that the man's ailment was related to his sin, and not only was he healed in body, but he was also forgiven in soul. This miracle that our Lord performs in John 5 is a type of the sacrament of reconciliation, because in it we see a man healed and forgiven of his sins without having to go into the water. And that's precisely what reconciliation is for us. It is our healing and our forgiveness without having to be rebaptized. And that's a theme throughout the Gospel of John. All of Jesus' works or signs, these great miracles that he performs in this gospel, point forward to the sacraments. And so when we read at the end of this gospel today, "The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform testify on my behalf," we can understand that Jesus' works continue among us to this day. And the works of Jesus among us are the sacraments. And every time someone is baptized, every time someone's confirmed, every time we experience the sacrament of reconciliation, every time we receive the Holy Eucharist, these are the works of Jesus. And the good fruit that they bring forth in us testify that the Father has sent Jesus and that his salvation is still being worked out in our very midst, even in the midst of the darkness of this world. So this has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, wishing you a happy and holy Friday of the third week in Advent.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes Technical Director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.